satisfied, my Lord. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Were you there? Part 1, Chapter 11, Culpable Crowd. Luke chapter 23, verse 27, and verses 48 and 49. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Also refer to Matthew chapter 27, verses 46 to 52, Mark chapter 15, verses 29 to 30 and 33 to 38, and John chapter 19, verses 19 to 22.
In chapter 3, we consider the murderous mob who, whipped up by hypocritical religious leaders, were crying for innocent Jesus to be crucified. Some of that mob would be in the crowd now to watch Jesus and the two criminals flanking him die on their crosses. They did not know, as we know now, that he died there to bear our sins and take God the Father's punishment in his body on that cross. The gospel depends on that. One hymn puts it like this: because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful heart is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. The culpable crowd we feature now is not exactly the same as that mob. It seems that this culpable crowd consists of at least some of the following. Some of that murderous mob, we don't know how many. Hostile religious leaders who try to influence the crowd against Jesus. Most of the individuals we meet in each chapter of part one. Some for Jesus and some against him. The large number of people who follow Jesus to the cross, perhaps including some of the mourning women. Some passers-by. Some who met Jesus before, some who heard him preach and teach, and or saw some of his miracles. Some secret admirers of Jesus, who hate what is happening, but who are too scared to say anything that may get them into trouble. Others who want a cheap thrill, like those who watch the reformers being burned at the stake for their faith, or victims being beheaded during the French Revolution. Yet others who genuinely have not made up their minds about Jesus and want to see his response to such an ordeal and death. Finally, just a lot of ordinary folks who happen to be there. Why call them the culpable crowd? Culpable means to be blamed. Why are they to be blamed? The reasons may vary from person to person and from group to group, as we will see shortly. But most were culpable because, having observed all that went on around that cruel cross, they failed to respond by repenting of their sins and asking God to forgive and save them. They watched Jesus die with such bravery, integrity, dignity, compassion, love and control. The evidence is that it causes them to pass the culpable verdict on themselves. As Luke 23:48 states, when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. Beating your breasts showed your remorse and anguish for your sin. Jesus told of a much despised tax collector who beat his breast as God convicted him of his sin. He prayed, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said he was accepted by God because he was sincere about his sin, unlike a boasting religious man, a Pharisee, who wrongly thought he was fine as he was. Many in the crowd seem to decide they are sinful and unworthy too. They beat their breasts and return home in remorse and anguish. Remorse and anguish can lead toward repentance, but they fall short of repentance, that is, being so sorry for my sin that I confess it to God, turn from it, ask for mercy, and give my life to Jesus in prayer. Perhaps the reason why the crowd members remain culpable is because of one or more of the following factors. 1. They do not believe or want to believe what Jesus said, or what the key clear Old Testament prophecies they had heard or read say about him. 2. They never bother even to consider the words of Jesus or those biblical prophecies seriously. What an insult to God. 3. They believe they should turn from their sins and trust Jesus as their Saviour, but they put it off and never get round to it. 4. Their fear of non-Christian opposition exceeds their willingness to believe, trust, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. 5. They fall to anti-Jesus peer pressure. It is easier to go with the flow and follow the crowd, even though that broad way will lead them to hell forever. 6. They are too occupied with this world's fears, worries, and materialism. But in a sad way, this crowd has done us a favour. It encourages us to evaluate our response to the Lord Jesus Christ independently and be ready to fly in the face of the potential influence of the majority crowd. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Never follow the crowd or do things because many others do. The right alternative is to be someone who trusts in the Lord. Beware of falling for conscious or unconscious peer pressure. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. God's Word is your map of life, and the Holy Spirit is your guide in line with that map, if you know Jesus as your personal and living Saviour. In that case, you are living to please Him, not the crowd. At times it is hard to take a path of lonely obedience to Christ, when so many are telling you to go another way. But if you honour the Lord, He will surely honour, keep and help you. Remember, no one gets to heaven by following the crowd. Only Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. John 14:6. 2 final valuable lessons. Please look at the other Bible verses given at the start of this chapter. There are 2 valuable lessons to learn about the crowd. 1. The crowd rarely understands or wants to understand what Jesus' words really mean or what the Bible clearly teaches. It takes a converted, praying person who relies on the Bible and on the indwelling Holy Spirit to understand any of God's teachings. 2. Do not rely on religious people, whatever religion they belong to, and however senior or expert they are in their religion. Get your teaching direct from God's Word, the Bible. Study it after prayer each day, and also listen to it being taught on the Lord's Day, Sunday, and during the week, if you get the opportunity to join in weekday Bible studies. Remember how the religious Jews were wrong about the Lord Jesus Christ as King. Do not rely on anyone claiming to be a Christian unless he reads, studies, trusts, shares, and promotes the Bible as God's Word, and unless his life shows he is putting Jesus first. How many of the culpable crowd will be in Jerusalem at Pentecost to hear the gospel preached by Peter? Surely many of them will be there, but if so, how many of them will listen, consider, and trust in Jesus? I wonder.